Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we're going to jump into this week's teaching. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 12 here. It says, "And now, Israel, what does Yahweh your God require of you? But to fear Yahweh your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of Yahweh, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to Yahweh your God belong heaven and the heavens of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet Yahweh set his heart and love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn." So we start this passage off, this reading, with this very statement. What does Yahweh your God require of you? What does he require of us? We are walking in a covenant with him. We are in a new covenant with Yahweh. When we chose to believe in Yeshua, when we saw that we were a sinner and that we were unclean and in the state we were in, we deserved death, that we were going to inherit death, and that we were going to spend eternity in hell with Satan. But we believed within our hearts that Yeshua died upon that cross for our sins. We were cleansed by his blood, forgiven of our sins, cleansed of all of our uncleanness. At that moment in time, we entered into a covenant with Yahweh, with our God. And in any covenant, there are requirements on both ends. And we have a requirement. And what is the requirement that he has given unto us? For us to fear him. Now remember, when God told Abraham, "Now I know that you fear me," it was because Abraham chose to believe God, and because he believed in God, he was obedient to the commands that God was giving him. He had told him to bring Isaac up to the mountain and to slaughter Isaac. And when Abraham brought Isaac up to the mountain and he was ready to slaughter Isaac, when he was being obedient to what God told him to do, the response was, "Stop, now I know you fear me." If we fear God, we will obey him. If we don't obey him, then we don't fear him. So his requirement for us is to fear him, to walk in all of his ways. So the desire of our hearts should be to walk in all of his ways. It should not be to walk in some of his ways. It should not be to walk in the ways that we find easy, to the ones that we like, or the ones that we agree with. Because, see, we are in a body of corruption. We have a flesh that is inside of us that is waging war against God's Torah, against his ways. And our flesh will do everything it can to try to persuade us to not walk in his ways, but to seek its own desires. But what is required of us is to crucify our flesh, to put that to death, but put the evil desires, the evil passions that are within our hearts aside, not to follow those, but to walk in all of his ways, not some, but all of them, to love him. Now remember, Yeshua said, "If you love me, then you will keep my commandments." We show him we love him by keeping his commandments, by walking in obedience. So we are to serve him, we are to walk in his ways, love him, be obedient with him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. All of our heart needs to desire him, needs to desire his righteousness, needs to desire to walk in his ways. If we are not giving him all of our heart, all of our soul, if we're trying to hold on to a piece of it, then we are not going to walk in all of his ways. Our hearts first must belong unto him before we can walk in all of his ways. We are to keep his commandments. We are to keep his Torah. That is what he requires of us. And he ends this by saying, so circumcise the foreskin of your heart. So it starts with what's going on in the inside with our hearts. Now, when we put our belief in Yeshua and he puts his Holy Spirit inside of us, his word tells us that he comes and he takes that stony heart, that old heart out, which represents this stubborn heart that is resistant to his word, that seeks its own desires, its own ways, that seeks to be conformed unto this world instead of being conformed unto Yeshua. So he gets rid of that heart. And he gives us a heart of flesh, or you could say a heart that is tender, that is soft, that is open to his word, to being taught his word, being taught his ways, to being conformed unto Yeshua, to feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot be conformed unto Yeshua if we're not feeling the conviction of his Spirit. His Spirit is the one who's going to teach us his ways, to follow his commands, to be like Yeshua. And that is accomplished by his conviction. And we are told to no longer be stubborn. That right there is probably the key one in this whole thing, because we are all stubborn and we can all be stubborn when it comes to certain things. Our flesh tends to want to hold on to certain things. And those things it wants to hold on to, it can become very stubborn or very resistant to God's word. To be stubborn is to be resistant to his ways, to be resistant to his word, to be resistant to being taught his word. It's being resistant to being conformed into the image of Yeshua. Now, being stubborn doesn't mean that you're stubborn in all of your life. It could be that you're stubborn over one issue or one thing. So don't say, well, I'm doing this, this, and this, so I'm not stubborn. Because there could be something that you're resisting him on because your flesh desires that over his righteousness. Now let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? What James is talking about here as he's addressing the people, he says your passions, or we could say your desires that are within you, are at war within you. Okay, so your desires, or the desires of your flesh, the passions that you have inside of you that are contrary to his word, that desire to do its own thing, that's desiring conformity to the world, that's desiring sin, that desires to break his Torah, that is resistant to his Torah. It is at war within you. So you are at strife. You are at war. You are at war with God. You are at war with his word and his commands and his instructions. And apparently, because they are at war with God's word, it is overflowing from their heart to their outward actions, and they are fighting amongst themselves. If you are fighting with people, then you probably have an issue going on inside of your heart. You have a war within the desires that are inside of you. That outward actions of the fighting and the strife and the quarrels is an outflow, is a manifestation of what is happening on the inside. They are a people who were acting fleshly. They were wanting to act according to their flesh, They were seeking the desires of their flesh instead of seeking the ways of God. They were walking in stubbornness. They were being stubborn. They were resisting God. Their hearts were not circumcised. Okay, now let's look at verse 2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So now he's going into some behavior that they're having, again, still, because of the fact that they are walking in their flesh. Because they are walking according to their passions, instead of according to God's word, you desire something and do not have it, so you murder. So he's giving some examples of the outward manifestation that is occurring because of what is going on the inside. They do not have peace and shalom in their hearts, so they're not walking in peace. They're not walking in joy, but instead they're walking in sin. They are reaping from what they have sowed. If your heart is going after the things of the flesh, you're going to reap the things of the flesh. You're going to see sin in your life, and it is going to wreak havoc in your life. It is going to cause issues in relationships. It is going to cause issues with financial situations. It is going to cause issues in your life and altogether in health, because you have chosen to seek that which is of the flesh instead of that which of the spirit. Okay. Sin brings forth destruction. It can be pleasurable, and it can be pleasurable for a season, but it won't bring joy, and it's going to destroy and wreak havoc instead of bringing life and blessing. So look at verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passion. So here we're seeing in verse 3 that they are at the point to where they're even praying and asking for things that their flesh desires. They are so fleshly and so caught up in their flesh that they are now seeking the things of their flesh, and they're seeking to satisfy their flesh by asking for these things in their prayers with God. Remember, our covenant with him is to keep his commandments, to walk in all of his ways. And when we walk in his ways, his end of the covenant is that he will be our God. Well, what does it mean for him to be our God? It means he will be our mighty one. Okay, so he will be the one who will fight for us. He will fight off our enemies for us. He will protect us. He will guide us. He will lead us. He will provide for us. And we see here in this passage that, you know, it seems to be that they are seeking certain things that may be material possessions that they don't have. And because they don't have them, they're fighting over these things, it seems. And they're not getting these things. They're asking for them, but they're not getting them because they're asking for them for the wrong purposes. They're not seeking them for righteousness' sake, but they're seeking them to satisfy their flesh or to satisfy the desires of their flesh, to continue to walk in sin, to continue to disobey God. They're asking for these things, but God says you do not get them because you're asking wrongly. Okay, so when we have a circumcised heart, and we are walking in his ways, and we are upholding our end of the covenant, we know and we can boldly come before him and know that when we ask of something of him, he will answer us. That is also his end of the covenant. He answers our prayers and he hears our prayers. He will deliver us. He will bring provision. He will bring healing. He will protect us. Okay? Because that is his end of the covenant. That is what he has to do when we're walking in our end of the covenant. And he longs to do it. He desires to do it. He doesn't do it regretfully, but he joyfully and willfully does it because he loves us and we are his people. We are his special people, his treasured people. And that's what we are. So when we treasure our relationship with him, he treasures us as his people in return. But when we choose to be stubborn and we choose to walk in our flesh, as the people are walking in their flesh here that James is talking about, we're not going to see that benefit, that blessing of him wanting to answer our prayers, to be our deliverer, to bring healing, to bring life, to bring peace into our lives, for us to be his treasured people. But instead, he's going to turn a deaf ear to our prayers. If we turn a deaf ear to his Torah, to his instructions and commands, then we can expect him to turn a deaf ear unto us. That is what we're going to reap from our sin and our stubbornness, from our pride and hard-heartedness, being stiff-necked. When Israel was stiff-necked in the wilderness, they did not get to enter into the promised land, into the land of rest. Instead, they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years and died in the wilderness, never having obtained the promise, because they chose to be stiff-necked instead of treasuring God's command and clinging unto him. If we want to receive the promise, we need to cling unto him. We need to treasure him and reject the urge and desire to be stiff-necked, stubborn, and to walk in our own ways and seek the desires of our flesh that are warring against us on the inside. Our flesh is at war with the Spirit. Our flesh is at war with his Torah. It seeks to be conformed unto the world, but our spirit is seeking to be conformed unto Yeshua. And we fight this battle every day. And we need to make sure that we are on guard and that we are winning this battle and that we're working and fighting to be conformed unto Yeshua if we want to be his treasured people. Verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. How do we put ourselves at war with God? Seek to be conformed unto the world instead of seeking to be conformed unto Yeshua. We need to learn to be friends with Yeshua, to be his friend, and not a friend with the world. How do we become a friend with Yeshua? By walking in his ways. Would he say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? We need to keep his commandments. We need to love him. And by doing so, we will be called a friend of God. We will abide with him. And in that, we will walk in covenant with him, and we will enjoy all the blessings of being in covenant with him. But if we choose to be an adulterous people, when we seek to be friends with the world, when we seek to be conformed to the world, we are an adulterous person. We are committing adultery against our God, and He will not put up with adultery. He is a jealous God. He wants all of us. And we make ourselves an enemy with God, and we will not be able to enter into the promised land. We will not experience the blessings and the joy that comes from being a friend of God. Let's look at verse 5. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? So he has put his spirit inside of us, and he is jealous over that spirit that is inside of us. Okay. His spirit lives inside of us so that he can commune with us. His spirit teaches us how to walk in all of his ways, to empower us, to give us the ability and the strength to reject and to fight against the passions of our flesh. We are at war with our flesh. Well, the Spirit is living inside of us, and by His Spirit, we are able to put to death our flesh. In order to put aside all stubbornness, to not be a stiff-necked person, but instead to walk in all of His ways and to have a circumcised heart, we do it by the power and the work of His Spirit and by the teaching of His Spirit. Verse 6, but He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So who is the proud person? That is the one who is stubborn. That is the one who chooses not to be conformed to Yeshua, chooses not to repent. What does it mean to repent? Repent is to see that what you are doing is wrong and to change your mind about that thing, to make a 180 and do the exact opposite. So the Holy Spirit convicts you about a sin. Now you have one or two things of how you can respond. You can receive that conviction, and you can humbly come before your God and say, I have sinned against you. I am going to change the way I think about this situation, and I am no longer going to walk in this sin. To the person who behaves and does that, that is the one who is humble. To be humble means to submit yourself unto God. It means that you are walking in obedience to His word. Okay? And to that person, they find grace. They find forgiveness. They find His Spirit giving them power to walk in obedience. Okay? But the one who is proud is the one, when the conviction comes along, chooses to reject the conviction and says, I am not going to change what I'm doing because I am enjoying myself. So I'm going to continue sinning and doing what I'm doing. And to that person, God opposes. The proud person is a disobedient person. Verse 7, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what's the answer? Submit yourselves to God. How do we submit ourselves to God? By simply being obedient to His word. Submission unto God starts first and foremost with submitting ourselves to His Torah, to the law and commandments He has given us, allowing His Holy Spirit to come and teach us and guide us and bring conviction. And when conviction comes, we listen to the conviction, We receive the conviction and we change our behavior. That is what submission is. This scripture could easily say, be obedient, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, this is a very popular phrase to be spoken by believers. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it's funny because that is the only half of the verse they say. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. As if that's enough. When temptation comes, just resist the devil and he will flee from you. No, it's not enough. There's two things that must occur. We have to resist the devil. And the second thing is we have to submit ourselves to God. So when temptation comes, say no to the temptation. Reject the temptation and turn around and submit yourself to God. Turn around and be obedient to his word. If you think about it, that is what Yeshua did when he was tempted in the wilderness. Satan comes to him, puts a temptation in front of him. Yeshua, what does he do? He spits out what the word said, what the Torah said. He says, the Torah says this, I'm submitting myself to God. I'm resisting you, devil, so you must flee. And Yeshua was able to withstand the temptation. He stood against it. Why? Because he knew God's Torah. He loved God's Torah, and he was obedient to his Torah. And he is our high priest, and he knows exactly what we're going through. And he can help us learn how to resist the devil and submit to God. There is no temptation that will come our way that he has not already faced. So he can help us overcome that temptation. And there is no temptation that will come that is too strong for us to resist. And therefore, on the other hand, submit to God's word. Be obedient unto him. When we resist the devil and submit to God during times of temptation, that's when he knows that we love him. That's when he sees that we are faithful to his covenant. And when we're faithful to his covenant, he's going to be faithful back unto us. He's going to treat us as his treasured people. Let's look at verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So to the person who is walking in pride, or to the person who is being stubborn and holding on to sin and choosing not to follow the conviction of the Spirit, that person is double-minded. They're trying to serve two people at one time. They're trying to serve God while also trying to serve themselves at the same moment. And a double-minded person cannot please God, and a double-minded person cannot draw near unto God. So what are we instructed to do? To cleanse our hands, to purify our hearts, because it has to start with the heart first if we're going to walk faithfully before him in the covenant. Okay, verse 9, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So if you're walking in stubbornness, if you have a bit of your heart that is hard or cold towards him, mourn and weep. Seek repentance. Humble yourself before him. Seek repentance. Seek to turn and do that which is right. And if you're willing to humble yourself before you, no matter what you're doing right now, if you are willing to humble yourself before him, to repent, to change directions, to do that which is right, he will exalt you. Let's allow his Spirit to do his work. His Spirit will circumcise our hearts. His Spirit will bring conviction to that which we are doing wrong, therefore teaching us in that which is good and righteous and holy and clean, so that we can walk faithfully with our God, so that we can love Him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. And we just need to learn that when His conviction comes, to respond in humility and not in pride. Because remember, humility is to seek repentance, to turn from our evil ways. So that's what we want to do. We need to learn how to turn from our evil ways, even on what seems like the smallest bit of compromise. Well, I hope this message has blessed you. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So thank you for joining us for this week's teaching, and come back now, and shalom, y'all.